Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Where do I even start? Where do I start a sermon for Trinity Sunday when clearly the world has not been thinking about the Trinity? Where do I start a message of good news when in these past few weeks it's been hard for me to see the goodness in the news? These are the questions I asked myself this past week. And then I realized that's where I start, with questions. Because all of us are asking questions right now. Why do people treat each other this way? Why do we think violence will solve anything? What has our world come to? Over these last couple of weeks, we've been watching news about our society tearing itself apart. We've been focused on the death of George Floyd and the emotional fallout that came with it. For some people, his death has become a spark for societal change. For others, it's a reason to stir up even more violence. And for some, it's just another day in America. Because sadly, this is not an isolated incident. And so it's safe to say that our world has not been focused on the Trinity. And it makes sense. The Trinity is a complicated idea. And we don't really think about it even when life is peaceful. Which means it seems especially irrelevant right now. Trying to figure out how God is three in one and one in three does not seem to matter when people literally choke the life out of others. It doesn't seem to matter when people are rioting in the streets and setting buildings on fire. It doesn't seem to matter when we thought this year couldn't get any worse. The world has not been focused on the Trinity. And yet, here we are. We are in the 13th week of a pandemic, the second week after Floyd's death, and the first week in the time after Pentecost. Today is Trinity Sunday. And in the assigned readings for this day, we hear the famous account of God creating the world in Genesis 1. We hear the psalmist celebrate God's creative power in Psalm 8. We hear Paul's famous sign-off at the end of 2 Corinthians 13, where he mentions the Trinity. And we hear Jesus' great commission at the end of Matthew, the one where he says to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are great texts for Trinity Sunday. But honestly, they do not seem like great texts for June 7th, 2020. Instead, it seems like we should have something from the prophets, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, or something about how we are all one in Christ, something like that. But that's not what we get. And so it makes us wonder. And it especially makes me wonder as a preacher, what do these texts about Trinity Sunday really have to say to our world today? Where is the good news here? Well, I know it can be hard to see. I know that some people feel like there's only bad news in the world right now. I know that some people have questioned God a lot recently. But even with the state of our world, even when George Floyd and his supporters say, "I can't breathe," even when cities like Minneapolis and Washington, D.C., and Dayton, and so many others have been the sites of riots and protests, there is still one important thing to remember. So please, if you don't remember anything else of what I say this morning, please remember this. Even if our world doesn't care about the triune God, the triune God still cares about our world. And I know that sounds like a nice line for an internet meme or a quote of the day calendar. But how can we say that God still cares when racism is still very real? How can we say that God cares when people come to a city just to stir up violence? How can we say that God cares when many people just stand by silently and are complicit when others act wrongly? Well, because God never gives up on us. Go back to the beginning of the biblical story. Over and over again in Genesis 1, we hear the refrain that God saw what God had made and it was good. God wants the best for us. God wants harmony and beauty and goodness. God wants us to relate well to God and to each other and to the whole of creation. This is how God created the world to be. Good. But then, of course, shortly after that, Adam and Eve think that since they live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, that they can do whatever they want. They disobey God. Cain then kills Abel outside of a convenience store, even though he was his brother. And then there is so much violence and rioting and looting in the world that God decides to start it all over again with a flood. This is not the way God wanted things to go. So God cleanses the world. But even after the flood, humanity is still wicked. So later, God works through individuals like Abraham and Moses and David to lead the people in God's ways. But the people still rebelled. So God sent prophets to call the people away from bad choices. When the people didn't listen to the prophets, God came to us in the person of Jesus. The God of creation entered our world of pain and suffering and prejudice. God entered our world of broken hearts and crushed spirits and people stepping on one another. God entered our world of sin and despair and death. And even though he proclaimed a message of love that turned our world around, how did we respond? As we always do, with fear and violence and death. We killed an innocent, unarmed man simply because we didn't want his life to matter. But that didn't stop God either. God conquered the grave and showed us that resurrection life is always true. But some people still didn't believe in the good news of the resurrection because dead people are supposed to stay dead. They thought the women's news of the empty tomb was an idle tale. So the risen Christ appeared to them and showed them his wounds. He showed them how he shares in their suffering and now how they share in his new life. Then, after the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus promised the disciples that they would not be alone. He would not leave them orphaned. 10 days after his ascension, that promise came true. God, as the Holy Spirit, came upon them and propelled them out of their little room and into the world. the Spirit empowered them to tell the good news of Jesus in a way that made sense. The Spirit spoke through them. And yet some people still didn't listen. Some people still doubted. Some people still thought the message of the gospel was irrelevant to their world because it didn't seem to match what they saw in the evening news. But Jesus promised that not even the gates of hell would stop his church from proclaiming this good news. Nothing. Not questions or violence or racism can stop God's love for us. Or stop that message from spreading. So do you see a theme here, my friends? Throughout the Bible, we hear how our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loves us and will not give up on us. We hear how we sin against God, how we think selfishness and violence are the best ways to live, and how we think we can do whatever we want. We will always be sinful people. And yet God will always be a loving God. God will never, never give up on us. The God who created plants and atmospheres, monkeys and meerkats, the hairs on your head and the tears in your eyes, this God mourns with us and weeps with us. This God goes to the cross and dies for us. And this God is still at work in us today. And this God never gives up on us. Even when the world doesn't care about the triune God still cares about the world. But of course, that's not what the media covers. That's not what we see in viral videos of someone being killed. That's not what we see when we hear about yet another city in flames. So then how do we see it? How is it more than just an empty platitude? Well, honestly, we see it through faith. And I know that can sound cheesy, but it's true. I recently heard a line that said, "Without faith, no evidence is sufficient. With faith, no evidence is necessary." Let me say that again. Without faith, no evidence is sufficient. With faith, no evidence is necessary. If we are looking for proof of God's unconditional love on the evening news, it may be hard to see. That's why instead, we see it in Jesus on the cross. God loves us. God loves you. God loves our broken world so much that God goes even unto death for us and then leaves the tomb empty. God then breathes within us, giving us new life and giving us languages and gifts to share this wonderful promise with the world. Yes, all of us, even Christians, have our prejudices against others. Even if by our own hands we don't cause violence or murder or commit hate crimes, we are still part of sinful humanity. None of us can escape that. We are still part of a culture that encourages the sins of racism and white supremacy. However, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has a love for us and for the world that is stronger than our sin. God forgives us. God calls us to live for justice. And God wants us to live as God intended back at the very beginning, in harmony with God, with each other, and with the world. And so, my friends, on this day when our hearts are aching, when our minds are overwhelmed, when our spirits are in turmoil, let the God of all creation hold you tightly in his crucified hands. And then let that same God stir within you like a mighty wind to help you change the way you treat others and help you proclaim the good news to the world. In big ways and small ways, we are, you are, the voices that this world needs to hear. We are the ones who can say, even if the world doesn't care about the triune God still cares about our world. Today and every day, that is a great place to start. So in the name of the one who proved his love is stronger than death, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.